All right, we are on the Toddcast, and it is episode 118. This is crazy. Legacy numbering, people. Legacy numbering.
we'll go back to one next week.
Yeah. We're just gonna always keep it just a little bit fresh for you. Like every week, we're just going to make it a little bit crazy.
And we do it so you never know exactly where you're at, what volume you're on. Never know.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. that's exactly what we're going to do, because it's going to be funny. But if you guys have questions or comments, just put them in the comments. I will try to find them as we go. If anybody's even watching this week, I know we haven't had a great amount of people watching, but we do end up getting a lot of people that listen and post, which is great. And we thank you a lot of that. So Tim was supposed to join us tonight. He had to cancel last minute. Something came up. He just couldn't do it. Oh, I just realized I had my Mr. Miracle button on. All right. I found this hoodie in the closet this afternoon and was like, oh, I haven't worn this in a while. So toss it on. Anyway, don't forget this Saturday we have the basement sale coming up this Saturday at Elwood. It's going to be crazy. I will be there all day, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thank you for everyone who did the early birds. That was awesome. Then next Saturday, the first Saturday of February, which is the 6th, is the Cranberry anniversary sale. So that'll be fun.
How many years for them?
Oh, my God.
Money should know this. Put you on the spot.
It's got to be like 30-ish. It's got to be 30-ish because
30-ish.
The company is 35 this year. In June, we'll be 35. But Elwood is the oldest one. And I want to say Todd opened it in 90 or 91. So it's got to be close to not, to 30 years, which is, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's great, so, you know, but, other than that, nothing else super crazy, coming up. I can't think of anything at least. So, I guess we're going to talk about comic books. Right. So my first book is Harley Quinn. Batman White Knight presents Harley Quinn book 4. And I really dug this book. Every issue has been great. The art is the only thing I can't really get into, because it's such a different style than just straight Sean Murphy. But you know, the plot's coming about. This is really Harley kind of finding her new place in life. You know, the kids are like, they're talking, so they got to be what, 2 or 3? You know, she's got her first real villain and stuff to deal with. While Batman is technically incarcerated in the day, and then Batman at night, and Jack Napier is in the hospital, you know, still being so we're incarcerated. I guess incarcerated, but in the hospital. So, but it's a good time. I keep thinking this book's awesome. So, keep reading. This was a small week for me. Like a real small.
See, that was quite the opposite. Now that's Sean Murphy's. That's his third White Knight series.
So third, he, I yeah,
I saw that for the first one, which the first two for me.
Yeah, the first two were great. This one, he does. I don't think he's not writing the book. Like he did, but he didn't. Like okay. He. Let me see if I can find it here. One more page, maybe. There it is. So he did the story with Katana Collins. Then Katana Collins scripted it, and then Sean Murphy just did the cover. So he kind of like let her run with it. Matteo Scalaria is the one who did the art for it. I like the art, but it feels weird reading it after reading two volumes of Sean Murphy art. You know what I mean? It's just, it's very different, but I think it fits Harley's attitude for it.
I'm really enjoying talking about Harley. I'm enjoying that Criminal Sanity. I don't know if you're reading that, the Black Label, like the magazine size ones. It is awesome, and we're actually going to get into this art for the book I'll be talking about. The art's so cool because it's like black and white, and then they have color in it too. You know, they like splash color different places, and that's cool to me. But
so it's kind of like a Sin City style.
Yeah, and it's just a real cool look at the way, I don't know. It's just, I've enjoyed it thus far, surprisingly. Cool. And I'm not a big Harley person, so.
Yeah, me either.
But Stake was my first book that I decided to take. I thought this was going to be like the book of the week type of deal and stuff like that. I don't know if it's going to be or not. Basically, it is vampires. They announce to the world, basically, they come out and kill somebody. Vampires are real, so everybody knows it. And there's a girl, her name is Stake. She's on the cover. She's like a punk goth chick, I guess you could say. Yeah. I'm not sure the proper terminology for what she would be. But anyways, she is basically like blogs herself hunting vampires. And in this issue, she is...
that's pretty
awesome. Which is kind of, it's kind of odd for me. I didn't know if I'd actually get into it. I'm like, oh, she's blogging stuff. And I was like, I don't want to hear about it. But it was actually pretty interesting. And the artwork's awesome. Like I said, it's like a black and white book. And then they put like splashes of color in different places and whatnot. You know, the blood's all red and everything. Mm. It's just a really cool like neo or noir kind of look to it. Basically, her name is Stake. And she has a friend that comes in who kind of saves her. Like, I thought she was going to be the one doing the killing. And actually her friend Jess, who's like this hot blonde, like, I think she's a vampire. I'm pretty certain I don't know that yet. Okay. She comes in with like swords blazing, like a raper and rapier, not raper. I'm sorry. Rapier.
Rapier. I was like, whoa, not that kind of podcast.
She comes in like chops them in half. Yeah. I want to stress IER. it was pretty good though. I'm going to give it a second chance. Cause I do tend to really like gravitate today. This was an awesome indie week. At least I thought so. So many books, and actually I've enjoyed a lot of stuff, surprisingly, but that was my book I wanted to talk about because I didn't even have a copy for the shelves everybody put in for them, and it was well received. People's really talking about it. So if you find it, get a chance. I've actually got more coming in the store for anybody that my guys are listening. Yeah, if I sold out, yes, I've got more coming in. They were still available. Check it out. It's pretty cool. So
cool. All right. My second book was Exo Man of War 4. I'm basically doing a bunch of follow-up stuff this week. It's kind of weird. This book was really, really awesome. This book was all about like the bad guy getting his ass kicked and them trying to stop Exo. They like try to shoot these giant spears through his suit. But here they're just robots. And at the end, it almost comes to like a almost like Civil War moment where so the bad guy tries to kill this kid and Exo just kills the bad guy instead. And then everybody starts talking about who gives him the authority to do that. Does he have the authority to do that? The cops are like, we didn't tell him to do that. Nobody asked for that, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes home to like his sidekick's place and the sidekick's, I guess like nanotech, like, or this nanotech like attacks both of them. And it kind of like imprisons him in this underwater nanotech. So the sidekick has to help him out and get him out of there. It was super crazy, but it looks like he's going to be crushed underneath the water and drown in the suit, which will be interesting. And then there's a really cool Savage number one, which was neat to see this in color finally. Since last time we looked at it was not in color.
Comes out in a few weeks.
I believe. Yeah. February 17th, so 3 weeks.
Yep.
But Max Bemis and Nathan Stockman on that one. Dennis Hopeless and Emilio Liasso on EXO. Like, this book is really is Conan in an Iron Man suit. That really is how this book is playing out. I like what Dennis Hopeless is doing with Spider-Woman. I like what he's doing with this book. It's just how I go. Yeah, check it out if you're into Valiant, or just into EXO, or into Conan, or into Iron Man. Check it out. It's kind of a cool new thing you can check out. But that's what I got for that.
I got a couple follow-up books too. I was hoping to kind of plug too, but the first one my last like main book I picked for something new is Damn Children of the Court, Children's Curse, or Cursed Children. I'm sorry. It's by Source Point. It's a black and white book again. And there's really nothing that happened in this. This is kind of like a, just kids are just attacking their family, parents, anything like that. There's really nothing that happens in this book, but it's just absolutely hilarious to me. I have no kids, thank the Lord. And these parents are like beating the crap out of their kids.
Right.
And it just, I don't know, some morbid side of me just thinks it's hilarious. So these little kids are basically like zombies, and they're just jumping around, attacking people. They're like little ninjas and stuff like that. It's just a fun, goofy read thus far, like horror-esque, because Source Point's like really good at, I mean, they are horror right now in the comic world, in my opinion. So if you get a chance, pick it up. It's funny and see where it goes from here. It's a cool little concept, and it's kind of creepy seeing all the kids walking around. They're like just hordes of little children walking around like zombies, and it's just affects the children, so that's what makes it cool. So
that's awesome.
It was good fun for me. I laughed a few times. Like,
you got my vote. I'm gonna check it out.
Dude just kicks a kid right in his head. It's weird. His kid's coming up to him and he don't want to run him around and just like drop kicks him right in his head. It was hilarious. So
it's awesome.
But to plug a couple books, kind of like a follow-up. If no one has read We Only See Them When They're Dead, or Only See Them When They Are Dead by Al Ewing.
You cannot speak today.
No, I can't. We Only See Them When They're Dead.
Yes. Or yes.
Find Them When They're
Dead.
We
Only Find Them When They're Dead. Yes.
By Al Ewing. And then I can't remember the lady that does the artwork, but it's real dreamy looking. I did the first issue quite some time ago on our podcast. Yeah. And the first volume, the first book, they call it book one. Just end it, and it is still awesome. I tell people, I said it here first, this is going to be the next, it's going to be the next big book. Like, Something Is Killing the Children, that like took a while to simmer and catch on.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee you this is going to. If it doesn't, I'll be very surprised. It's so good.
Yeah.
And then my absolute favorite book, and I reviewed this, is Post America.
Nice.
No one reads it at my store. I am literally the only person. I cannot figure out why. If no one has read the first issue, read the second one. It is, if you like Walking Dead and Crossed mixed together, but only better than both of them thus far, which is kind of weird because it's all about cannibals and just the world ending.
Is it which parts are better than what parts though? Like, because that's a very tall order there, sir.
At least I just think it is. Well, one, it's in color, so it started off in color, so it beats Walking Dead in that. Crossed was good just because it was gory and it was just out of this, you know, if you want something weird to read. But this has more of a plot behind it, not just, you know. I think it's awesome. I can't believe literally no one's reading it in my store. I haven't heard anything about this book, and it's by Image, and it is just, it's hilarious. And it's hilarious, but it's also, you know, super serious and whatnot at the same time. It's so cool. Got a little bit of, you know, obviously the government was destroyed and everything like that, and now you have different factions. You still have a certain government presence. You got like the chick on the front where she's kind of like the good guy or good girl, whatnot. And then you got your cannibal people. I'm telling
your
people, read this.
Your hero.
Yes.
We'll say it that way. Your hero.
Yes. It is. It's awesome. I am loving it. I'm still telling people, like, pick it up, try it out. It's so, and the artwork's awesome. So
it's awesome.
I'm going to plug it because no one cares about it and I care about it. So
I'm going to do another follow-up plug because it finally came out. Issue one of Dead End Kids, Suburban Job. Thank you, Frank, for coming on the show. You know, this book was great. I'm very excited to have it in my hands as an actual one that's not the thank you variant.
I didn't buy it because I was very thankful for the variant I got, and that was
I want to keep supporting. And the only other one that I'm going to talk about real quick, I'm not going to do a full review. I'm just going to say that we're going to have these guys on the show soon. This is a local creator book called Intergalactic Deathmatch. These guys are from out by your store. This book, like, you can get in any of our NDCs. It is awesome for just a couple of dudes in nowhere, Ohio, to throw this together. This is some of the highest quality indie book I've ever seen. Like, it's got a nice glossy, almost plastic cover. The art is phenomenal. It's like, it reminds me of like Street Fighter type style art, or like a manga influenced art, which is great. So definitely check that out. You can get it at any of our stores. Intergalactic Deathmatch. All right.
It's got a 90s imagey vibe too, and that's coming back.
But with a way sexier,
presentation. Yeah.
Issue 2 is coming, they told us. But we're gonna have the creative team on here probably in about 2 or 3 weeks. That's the ballpark. So that'll be cool. I am also working on some more Aftershock guys. So Rachel and I were talking the other day. We're gonna see what we can do. Really kind of hoping to get like maybe Colin Bunn. Like, that'd be kind of neat. So
yeah. I like that Kaiju score. I read that came out.
Yeah,
this
that
week.
Was pretty good.
I absolutely love that book. I don't know why. It's just it's funny, plus it's serious, and it's just a bank robbery during a Kaiju attack. It's crazy, but it is fantastic.
I thought it was cool that it came out the week that Godzilla versus Kong was supposed to come out, and then they moved that movie, but they put all the Godzilla movies on HBO Max, and I'm like, really? Come on, guys. We're going to talk about WandaVision real quick. I mean, you haven't seen
right? No, I have not. I mean, if it's any like the Tom King Vision stuff, I've read all that whenever, you know, it was coming out, issue by issue. I've never been a Vision fan. So
I guess my question is, so let's do this in a different way. You tell me what you think this show's about and what your opinions on it are on purely not watching it. And I will tell you what I feel about it afterwards, considering you weren't here last week for Tim and I to talk about it.
Yeah. What I would want from it is almost similar to Tom King's run, where it's basically like Vision trying to incorporate himself into like just a regular average Joe home life. That's what I kind of like, you know, in Substitute. I can't remember what his wife's name is, his cybernetic wife is, but,
right.
You know, and kind of like, put Scarlet Witch in there, sooner even though Scarlet Witch is in that series and whatnot. But, and then when I saw like the different trailers and stuff like that, I thought it was cool because Monica Rambeau is in it and I kind of like to see a little bit more of her, but it looked kind of cheesy to me, I'm going to be honest. And I'm just not a Marvel if Marvel would go away besides Thanos, I honestly I wouldn't shed a tear. But like, everybody knows I'm a DC guy, so it looked kind of cheesy to me, but enlighten me.
Okay, so here we go. So it does have a little bit of a camp vibe, but that's because it's supposed to. So each episode is designed to be in a similar style to like a older sitcom. So the first one you had Dick Van Dyke. So, and what Tim and I both agreed on last week was if episode one would have aired as just that, nobody would have bought into this show, because the first episode is just kind of them living in this weird life. And it's just like, it's like watching almost like a Dick Van Dyke style episode with Vision and Scarlet Witch being the main characters. Then the second episode,
is all black and white?
The first whole episode is, and then the very end of the last episode, it shifts to color. Okay. So, in episode two, it's Bewitched, and each episode,
oh, really,
each episode's intro changes to fit the style of show it's homaging. So, like the second episode, okay, has like, cool, a Bewitched, that's cartoon, cool, type thing. Yeah. And in that one, like they did like talent, like there was a talent show and she had to like make friends with the neighbors or whatever. And yeah, I actually read something that was actually kind of funny. So Emma Caulfield's character is the person that they're trying to impress in that episode. And in when she was on Buffy, her character hated rabbits, was like super fearful of bunnies, right? And in that episode, they do like a pull a rabbit out of a hat gag.
Yeah.
And they thought it, and people thought it was intentional, but here it was not intentional. I just thought it was funny that got brought, yeah, up. But so that has like that kind of a vibe the whole time. Like, you know, anytime he leaves the house, like he changes into like a human face.
Yeah.
And she uses magic all the time. And there's little Easter eggy things. Like she says, like, well, those boxes aren't going to move themselves in one episode, which, you know, is the thing where she kept turning things into boxes, you know? Yeah. So then at the end of the second episode, spoilers, if people haven't watched it, you should probably not be listening to any more of the podcast.
Then you'd be talking to yourself.
Right. So, well, no, I meant listeners. Listeners and people watching, not you, Bo. So at the end of the second episode, well, mid-second episode, she finds in her bushes a colored sword helicopter. Like, it's in color. And Monica Rambeau shows up, but she doesn't use the name Monica Rambeau. She uses an alias.
Yeah.
And then in the third, or at the end of the second episode, Scarlet Witch is pregnant, and she turns the world to color. So then the third episode is like Brady Bunch with like kind of Partridge Family, like together. More Brady Bunch than Partridge Family. But you saw a whole lot of hexagons. You saw more hexagons than anything else in the intro this time, which is like an Easter egg for AIM, right?
Yeah.
So then this episode, the twins get born, and they talk about why, like, the Vision wants to name the son Billy, and she wants to name the son Tommy. And because she wants to name it, or she wants to name it Tommy, and because like eventually Tommy becomes the speedster, and that's why she was gonna do that. But so they end up having the kid in the middle of the episode. The Monica Rambeau's character is there and breaks that fantasy that Scarlet Witch is kind of stuck in, because she says like they start talking about family, and she said, yeah, I had a my brother died. And Monica Rambeau's character says, oh yeah, that happened at whatever the place was in Age of Ultron, Segovia. That was the Segovia, yeah, thing. And she just kind of almost snaps a little bit, and kind of like for a minute kind of remembers what's real. And she notices that Rambeau's wearing a sword pennant on her necklace. And mm-hmm. She's like, what is that symbol? What is that symbol? And she just throws her out of the existence of that place. And here you find out this whole town is like kind of in a almost like an impenetrable, like a force field shell. And she gets thrown back out of it, and she lands in a field, and all of these sword agents show up. And also Kat Dennings' character from the Thor movies, where she was Jane Foster's assistant. She yeah. shows up, and you get a glimpse of her real quick. So we're going to see a lot more of that. There was a leak that it looks like that helicopter is the helicopter that Monica Rambeau got into there with. Like, it crashed into the thing, but she got out and was like full size.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of House of M-ish then.
Sort like, of.
Where but she's here's, created.
Here's where it gets even weirder. So a friend of mine who's a sub at the Waterfront store, he tags me and Tim Hibbard in a post on Facebook, and his post is, I think this is where WandaVision's going. What do you guys think? And it's Standoff, Avengers Standoff. And I went, I can see that. I can 100% see that, or at least that kind of being like part of it.
See, I think this is how they're going to introduce mutants into.
I do too.
Like the ever, you know.
Well, I think at the end she's just going to crack. The whole world's going to split, and then it's all everything in this whole phase will be multi-layered, like different multi-dimensional stuff, which is pretty much what we already know anyway.
Yeah.
But I think
that's better than what I thought it was going to, you know, it's more intriguing to me now that you've talked about it than what it was.
And they're half-hour episodes, so like that's nothing crazy, at least so far. Yeah. But I think they're half-hour because each of the shows they've homaged so far were half-hour long shows. So when they get to like, so they've done basically like the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Tomorrow's episode is the 80s. And oh my God, does it look super 80s? Like it is so like Agnes, like there's a still of Agnes with like big poofy 80s hair and like a headband and like the
what show are they spoofing?
I don't know. Because I couldn't tell
if they do 90s, they got to do like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air type
thing. Oh, that'd be awesome. I don't think it's going to go that route. I think, I don't know what 80s when they're going to do. I would like it to be like Family Ties, but I don't think that's quite where it needs to be. But 90s, I can see them doing like Friends, or Seinfeld, or something like that. And then 2000s, I don't even know what they would do, but like, because they said like the last three episodes are going to be all the action for the most part, but this is like such a weird thrillery horror-ish vibe, creepy, don't know what really is actually going on thing that I love it. It's like morbid curiosity to figure out what's going on next. So I'm pretty excited for it. I really dig the whole aesthetic of the show. Although Chip said, if they don't do Full House with her being there, like in the show, to homage her sisters, like they've missed a really big opportunity, and I can't say that he's wrong because
everybody's out of jail now too, so they could pull something off.
Aunt Becky just shows up randomly. Oh, it's the only gig I could get. Oh no. But it was I really enjoy the show. I think it's very very good. It's a weekly fun thing to get me through my Marvel thing. Now my only thing that's going to be weird is, so there's that's going to, when that ends, there's 2 weeks, and then it's Falcon Winter Soldier, and then that goes all along, and then that was supposed to end and then go into Black Widow, like the Black Widow release, but now Black Widow I think is getting pushed back again, which
I think so.
You know, but then it's like, you know, by the time they do the Eternals movie, it's going to be even crazier, but they are filming a lot of stuff, so
it's time for them to just suck it up and just say movie theaters might be a thing of the past for a while,
and just release it. Know about the past, like, but they're definitely stream, not going to be as they're not going to be as stream. Good.
Yeah, like that's why we still haven't saw Dune yet. Todd's talking to this to a friend the other day, like, because that the director, he's fighting because he doesn't want, you know, he wants the theaters. Well, you can't at the moment, so. And that's why haven't seen that yet. So,
I mean, you can, like, Wonder Woman was in the theaters as well, but you know, it definitely didn't do what it could have done. Yeah. But they use that as a launch point for HBO Max.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, a ton of people already have Disney Plus because of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay, like, you're not going to see extra people hopping onto Disney Plus for, Black Widow to do that.
Nah.
Now they could put it on there and be like, it's for people that I don't know how they would do it. Be like, if you get a new subscription, you get like a free passcode for it. And if you had an older subscription, maybe you have to pay $5, yeah, like, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's just kind of cool. I'm like, but I mean, I still have tons of stuff to watch. Like I'm just finished the first season of the 12th Doctor in my Doctor Who reboot. So I have 4 more to go and then I'll be back to caught up again. And I just bought a new iPad today. So I got a year of, Apple TV for free. So I'm going to check out like Ted Lasso and, a couple shows on there that I heard were pretty good. So,
I'm still telling you need to watch Cobra Kai. I know I talked to you. I watched that and I loved it again. And the potential for the next season is even greater. Like if you just, all the old characters they brought back from the movies was so just like nostalgic and just made you smile. And looks like they're going to be bringing somebody else back for the 4th season. So it's awesome. So popular and I got some awesome action figures in it. Store the other day. So, you know, oh, Cobra right. Kai till we die. So,
oh yeah. So speaking of cool toys, we got at the store. I got this, Saturday at Waterfront. It's the She-Ra pop vinyl with the glow in the dark specialty series one.
Damn, I haven't got them yet.
So I think Chip ordered extra through Diamond.
Super just jelly.
Do that.
I ordered them from Diamond too. I haven't got them yet. Oh.
I was like, oh man, I need to buy this.
Cool.
I almost bought the He-Man on Battle Cat because that was
I did
awesome.
Get that. Yeah. Well, you yeah. brought me that one. It's cool. Yeah. Cause I had somebody asking if we had a Panthro, you know, the one Skeletor rods and whatnot.
I thought that was
an Amazon
exclusive.
Thing. It is. Yeah.
Cause it was like was supposed to be like the Funko Con, or it could have been the Power Con exclusive for this year, but it's cooler cause it's flocked. Yeah, like it's got real fur on it. Like that's awesome. Like I'm pumped about that. I know a buddy of mine's going to be super excited to get that. Just trying to think if there's anything else. Go ahead.
The thing that I thought was most interesting is I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan because I talked. They're doing something and it's not Disney Plus. It's HBO Max that they're going to be doing a show on HBO Max for Harry Potter. Why they haven't met? Because now that Hogwarts down there, Harry Potter's not a Disney property. I don't think so. Like. It'd be great if they would actually do a comic of that. One, I'd like to hear, you know, a TV show would be great because that's an awesome thing. I love Harry Potter, even though I'm too old to probably like Harry Potter, but it's awesome. And I wish they'd do a comic of it. And I just think it could be just mind-blowing if they do a comic of it and, you know, start something here in that world would be cool to do. So I'm looking forward to the show. If that would come out, I will watch that for sure.
I don't know if I would... I don't know if I'd read that. Like I've never been a big Harry Potter fan.
It would, it'd be a bang.
I think I hit that weird spot where I was like I didn't read the books and like, I felt like I was a little too old for the movies. Like I watched like the first 2 or 3 and they were all right. But like, they just didn't suck me in. Cause I felt like it was too young. But I know people that are like,
big time
stupid crazy into that, like Todd's girlfriend Amanda's a big Harry Potter fan, and awesome. I know like they've had like when they've gone to Disney a couple times and done like the Butterbeer thing and like the wands and like they've done like the Wizarding World and all that fun stuff. So I just thought that was kind of cool. All right, so the only comment that we have 2 comments. One was Ron being late. Way to go, Ron. And the other one was Dean Fosferetta jokingly, I think, saying, can I buy some GameStop stock here? to my reply of, we're going to talk about that.
Sure.
So we're only going to talk about this quickly because I think it's ridiculous. So if you guys don't know, there are basically a bunch of people out there buying stocks online and they're buying this. What was tanked GameStop stock, they're buying what was tanked AMC stock. So this is how my mind works. Like now the stock is worth a ton of money. So I've seen so many comic flippers and speculators do this. It's called a pump and dump where they basically like inflate the price on something and then they can sell it for high when they bought it really low. Which, you know, everybody, that's the name of the game. No matter what you're, business, whatever you're selling, that's business. That's what you're trying to do. So I just kind of feel like who in their right mind is going to buy this stock like at this stupid high price? Like that's where my mind is like, who's going to be like, you know what? I'm totally going to buy GameStop now. Like, but it blows my mind.
I'd sell them some Blockbuster stock too while I was at it. Throw it in with it. You buy some GameStop, you get some Blockbuster at the same time.
I mean, did GameStop completely shut down or did it just shut down some stuff?
No, it's just, it's sad to say, like many things, it's probably going to be a thing of the past. So I don't know. Seems like somebody's about to get in trouble. I don't know what they've done. I don't know that much into it, but it seems like somebody about to go to prison for some time or something. Like it probably ain't gonna be good. Who knows? Maybe not. I don't know. But that's not my game, is stocks and stuff like that. That's what either. Me and you was talking about it. And for anybody else listening, like Elon Musk said, tweeted out a joke. And then it like doubled or something even after he said something. So it's even like funnier, like, oh God, but who knows? Who knows?
But I'm just like, in my mind, I'm just thinking, who in their right mind is going to buy stock? Is going to buy that stock from these guys? It just doesn't make any sense. Cause like no one's, while it's cool that they're trying to, I guess, not necessarily in the front burner idea of this, but kind of they're benefit, like the company is benefiting from it because it's helping people stay afloat and the company be afloat, which is great. But if your whole point is to buy this stock low and sell it high, if you're closing all these locations, no one's gonna do that. And that's really where I'm just confused as to what the hell people are thinking,
you know? Or else people's just a lot smarter than me and you when it comes to that stuff, and they know something.
You know,
I don't know.
I will totally eat crow if if we come out of this pandemic and GameStop all of a sudden is like on every freaking corner because they can just do it. Cool. Yeah. But when PlayStation and Xbox are selling systems that don't even have a disc drive, sorry, man, I can't. I can't get into that. Like that's, there's no way that I can back that. You know?
So, I mean, we shall see. Kind of funny though, reading all of everybody's memes and articles and stuff about that. But you know, some dumbass went out there and they've been buying. They bought a couple things at GameStop and as high as it was. You know, some dumbass did.
Yes, they did. You know, and it's nuts. But I'm just glad that I'm glad that the companies are kind of getting a little bit of help because of that. But Jesus, man, I just can't. I can't get myself to do that. I don't like to play that kind of game. I'm not a big gambler. Even when I play Magic, I play a lot of like mid to late game stuff, so I'm not gambling super hard on the game.
That's out of my realm.
Yeah, that's a little much for me.
If I knew what I was doing other than just speculating, thinking I know what I was doing, maybe it'd be something, but.
Yeah, that's definitely a difference. So. Yeah, right. I don't think we actually said it officially, but we're gonna bring Tim in as our third host. Officially, he was supposed to come on today so we could tell him that and make it really cool. But he's gonna be helping me out next week because Bo's gonna be late. He may not even make it.
I'm gonna try to.
He's gonna try. He may come in at the last 5 minutes and be like, "Wait, I have a book to review." So
I just come in and bullshit.
Should be. Yeah. Other than that, I don't really have a lot going on. A lot of other announcements or anything. There really wasn't a lot of
quiet
big news or anything this week.
Comics this week. If you liked indie stuff, I did, this was the most enjoyable week I've had in a while. Like I read some really good books this week and just cause I like indie stuff. So,
right. Well, I think it's, I think my problem is the indie books I wanted, you were already sold out of. So I had to
just
go
steak. That was the only one. I got you everything else.
Right. Well, I had something else that got pulled at the mills too. Because I have like I have basically two pull boxes. I have one at your store cause I'm there every Wednesday. And then I have one at the mills, which is some other stuff, but I did my order today and it was a pretty big order for next week. It was like 10 or 12 books. So there's a lot of stuff. High Republic too next week, which I'm going to check out because I want to see if the story goes anywhere. But the first issue was so boring.
We'll see. Is Future State over yet? No, it's not.
No, second wave, the number twos of the first wave are next week because I requested Swamp Thing and Wonder Woman and there was another one.
I'm ready for it to end. I'm sorry. Now the Suicide Squad was cool because they did mention about Crime Syndicate starting in March.
Oh, yeah?
And that is, if they do that right, that could be awesome. So I love the Crime Syndicate stories they've always done with the JLA, you know, Justice League and whatnot. So that'll be cool if they do that. And then Peacemakers in Future State too, to kind of give John Cena's character for that Suicide Squad movie a little bump. So,
right.
You know,
Ron must be caught up watching because he just said that he's trying to read all the Future State books. He is a little behind. And he read Wonder Woman. No, I think we're good. But he did say that she did like the book. I also agree. I like
to read Wonder Woman.
I like Joelle Jones. I thought she did really well with it. Well, second prints of number one come out this week too, or next week as well. So check that out. And
the lady that's doing the art for Wonder Woman's doing the art for We Only Find Them When They're Dead. That's who it is.
Right. And then the
still can't remember her name.
They're both and they both have cover art by cover variants from Jen Bartel.
Yeah.
Man. Which she's freaking awesome.
She is.
So and
half the time anymore.
Now I remember. So if you guys missed the email, all the stores sent out an email. We have this new, there's a new company called Bad Idea. We talked about it a little bit. So they've started soliciting their first couple books. The first book, ENIAC, we are 100% sold out in pre-order. We're going to work on trying to get some more.
Oversold out.
We will do what we can for you. We'll see what we can do. Their second book just got solicited this week. It's called Tankers Number Two, or Tankers Number One. And it's Rob Venditti and who is the?
My mind went blank.
Pretty sure it's Rob Venditti, right? Or Rob Venditti? Yeah. No, Rob Venlenti. Rob Venlenti.
Venditti's doing a book too.
For them. I'm pretty sure it's Venlenti because he's the one who did Archer and Armstrong with them when they were the Valiant guys. But anyway, I'm going to check it out. I think it looks cool. It's kind of mechy. And the art looks just freaking fantastic. So if you want to check out, they sent us a ton of little preview books. So if you're a subscriber, you can, Joelle Jones is doing art and writing according to Ron. Thank you, Ron. So if you want to check out some of the new preview stuff of what they want, stop in the store, pick up the book. There are some rules that we have to abide by. So we're probably not going to go super heavy on a lot of these things because there's just some things that we have to follow with them. You are limited to one copy of each book.
Yes.
Period. But I mean, that's pretty much what we do anyway, for the most part. We always reserve the right to limit how many copies of anything you get.
Big yes.
And it's just a lot of fun, man. Like these guys are launching with a lot of the great creators they used when they launched Valiant back in 2012, right? So I'm going to talk to those guys and see if we can get at least somebody from the company on. I'm pretty sure Adam will do it. He's a lot of fun.
Well, they've either, like I said, with the amount of people that I had sign up for it, and like I said, they're doing that one per copy. So everyone gets a chance. People don't understand that. Everybody needs a chance to read it, not just scalpers, flippers, speckers, all that bullshit. Right. It's just everybody gets a chance, and people don't understand that. Some don't understand. But anyways, they have potential with as many as pre-orders as I did, because I tried to up my order a little bit. They have potential. If they hit on it, they've hit a goddamn home run, at least in my eyes. So I hope it's as good as what we think it's going to be, because that whole previews book, there wasn't a bad thing in there. It really didn't look like it was a bad thing. So
let me see if I have,
I have high hopes. I don't. It's, well, I do. It's somewhere in one of these millions of boxes.
I'm just going to flip through my pile real quick. You can talk to people. Discuss among yourselves.
I ain't got nothing to say to them. No.
But awful, Bo.
Every title in there really looked good. Like, I mean, some great, you know, great writers from the past and current and whatnot. It's just potentially could be a major home run for them. So
I thought I had it up here. I guess I don't.
I don't know.
But it was, it's really, it looks really killer. Like everything in there looks really killer.
Yeah.
It's there's either
an Odin book too that looked good.
Yeah.
That looked really cool.
I think that's coming out or being solicited toward the end of the first quarter. So probably sometime in March. And I think that's the Matt Kent or another Matt Kent book, because Matt Kent's doing this. Aniac,
he's doing
book.
A good many. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he was really big with them because he did their like, that last big EXO run, that was like super
not a
awesome.
Bad thing.
Nope.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, so.
I mean, other than that, Matt has a new book coming out next week from Image, I think. And that was the only other, that was the last time Matt Kent did anything.
Speaking of different books, do you see Jeff Johns is writing a book for Image, by the way, for everybody? He's writing, it's called Geiger.
I knew that.
That should be. I did know it, I did, but I didn't like expect it to be like here already. Like it just seems coming up faster. No. It's just being solicited in the recent previews.
Oh, okay.
So I just thought that was interesting. Somebody that's been, you know, for so long with DC and only doing DC titles, now he's like branching out. Like, kind of could be neat and something different from him. So
well, he's
my
Marvel
favorite. He's my
too.
Favorite of all. He did the Avengers stuff, like Red. I think it was called Red Mist.
Yeah, and he did.
I mean, there was
some
different
awesome,
things. Yeah,
like Ultimate Vision book.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That
yeah.
Ultimate Vision book that was like super killer.
He's always been my favorite writer of all time. So I hope we get some more of him. Stay away from movies. And write some comics.
Come back to the books.
Come back to Green
back
Lantern.
Back to the books. Yes.
Come
please.
Back to Green Lantern.
Please,
please. Good God.
Please get some continuity that flows well with all the books. Please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
So, well, I think that wraps it up for this week. It's a little shorter than normal, but you know what? You get one of those every once in a while. So
much this week, besides some good books.
Well, so. I think it would have been a little longer had Tim made it, because you know, obviously he would have talked about some stuff too.
Yeah.
So we are forfeiting Tim's time this week. We will give it to him next week. We obviously, because he's going to be with me. You know, it'll be all right. But thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you shop your local comic store. Support local always, no matter where you're at. You can also hit us up at ndcomics.com and hit shop, and you can shop your favorite ND Comics store. We can mail stuff. You can do pickup in store. You can do curbside. We do all the stuff. Or you can come in and see some of our shiny faces.
So come into the barber shop. That's where you come. It's the barber shop anymore to me.
It is a nerd barber shop.
It is. It's crazy anymore.
Oh, so. Another thing though. Starting Monday, the mills will actually be open 11 to 7 instead of 12 to 7. They are opening an extra hour. So if anyone else has anything, you can always email us or hit us up on social media. I'm actually going to try to make our Twitter work a little bit better, but you can follow us at NDC Toddcast. So it's at and then NDC Toddcast. And same with our Facebook stuff. I'm actually going to start trying to use that a little bit more nowadays. So, and you can always message us on there. You can leave comments. If you're a local creator and you just want to get your stuff seen and heard, hit us up. We'll ask probably for like a review copy, and we'll totally talk to you for an entire hour. And
Intergalactic Deathmatch has set a high standard now. So bring your A-game.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah, there's a lot of guys that have some good stuff. Yeah, I mean, Sora's Aurora book and that we did that. And then I do want to get the Pencil Knots on here. They're the ones that did Mr. Marsh. And Nate really has that cool, like Kirby style art.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's a couple other guys that are local that I wouldn't mind having on too. But you know, depends on what they're doing too. They might be busy. So, but cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening and or watching, and we will catch you next week on the Toddcast. Have a good night.